This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 122, coming at you live from Build Day 2, recorded live March 31st, 2016.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Microsoft Cloud Show is sponsored by Valid.nl. Valid is a Microsoft Gold partner whose mission is to enable its customers to excel in their business through the innovative use of technology. Valid is always on the lookout for consultants, architects, and engineers. Do you know Azure, BI, and Analytics, .NET, Office 365, or SharePoint? Look them up on Valid.nl. Good sort of morning, AC?
No, morning for you. It's late afternoon for me.
Yes.
Good day.
We've just had, It's it was actually a really, really good day. We've just finished up the keynote at Build Day 2, where we heard all about Azure and Office and IoT and a bunch of things that we're going to go over. So what do you think?
I thought that today was much better than yesterday. I know that, you know, said a few things in yesterday's episode about day one's keynote, and it seems that the tech media kind of had the same reaction, or they were, God, Mashable was harsh, but I thought that today's, gosh, man, in the first 11 minutes, I remember looking at the clock and seeing the first 11 minutes when Scott Gu was talking about Xamarin, and he blew away yesterday's keynote by far. I mean, that was pretty darn impressive. It was kind of like the worst kept secret, or the worst is what everyone was assuming, but we're like, I wonder if they're really going to do it, but we'll get into that in a bit.
Oh, when?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good summary, right? It was like a dead cat in the middle of the street versus today.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Maybe I'll dial that back a little.
Yeah. Just a bit.
It was just super flat yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Today was a lot more new news, not a lot, but some new news, and just the level of energy and the like claps from the audience, and the response was a lot more vibrant.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Right off the bat too. I mean, today's keynote started, it should have been the way that yesterday's keynote started. It should have been the thing that opened up the conference. Today's keynote was almost like, we've got to recover. But at any rate, I guess I'm curious to you because, you know, we're on, as we're recording this, it's day two of the conference. You had an opportunity to go to a couple sessions, Mr. Lowly Attendee this year, and not having any kind of responsibilities other than just to make sure you're dressed when you walk into the conference center.
Yeah.
What did you go see yesterday?
I think the highlight for me was Ross Gardler's session on Azure Container Services or Azure Container Service. And he did a great introductory. It was a 200 level, so it didn't go super, super deep. But he went into what they're doing in the preview with Azure Container Service. We had him on the show a few episodes ago. So if you want to hear more about ACS, definitely go and take a look at that podcast episode. But he walked through what ACS is, how you would use it. He showed good demos. So he had a couple of different clusters, Docker clusters up and running up in Azure. He showed how to use the Swarm capabilities with ACS. He showed how to use the Mesosphere or the Mesos capabilities in ACS, and showed a couple of practical examples of microservice-based web applications and got them running and deployed and scaled, and then showed a little bit of loading. So loading up a queue and spinning up more processes to deal with that queue. It was pretty practical, I thought. It was really nice and very topical for what I'm looking for at the moment. So it was a highlight for me. I didn't go to the session because it was on at the exact same time, but it was Anders Helsberg did a TypeScript session, which I've spoken to three or four people now who all said it was awesome. And so I'm going to watch the recording for that. But I think that sounded like definitely a highlight of day one as well. Things like TypeScript definitions coming to NPM, for example, that was a pretty interesting tidbit that somebody told me. So being able to get your TypeScript defs through your regular node package manager and all of that sort of stuff, it seems like TypeScript's really starting to hockey stick and mature nicely. So definitely those two things. So yeah, that was. I think that was day one. You know, I spent a lot of time yesterday walking around the expo area and talking to different partners and things. I got my, I got more stickers than I know what to do with. But I talked to this, I talked to the Mesosphere guys. I talked to the Docker team. I talked to the GitHub team. I talked to Octopus Deploy, which is a really interesting little partner out of Australia, who do deployment of code and applications between different environments. So they were pretty awesome to talk to. And they're not working on container stuff yet, but that seems to be coming. So they were really fun to talk to. So yeah, the expo area was full of some interesting partners that I want to go check out more today. Oh, I talked to Twilio as well, the text and SMS partner, about what they're doing with bots and authentication, and they're the guys behind the Authy app for Android and iOS for doing two-factor auth through through text and magic codes and all that sort of stuff. So it was pretty cool. So that was pretty much my day one, other than the keynote, obviously. And then today, actually, as we record this, Jeremy Thake, Brian Jones, and Tristan Davis are doing the Office 365 overview session, where they're going to talk about some of the things that were covered in the keynote in more detail. So definitely watch the recording of that for more details of what we're going to talk through about in the keynote in a second.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, it sounds like a pretty busy day. You get to see a lot of stuff and everything. So it's sounds like a good day. I know you were talking about ACS. That was a good follow-up from the interview we did with Ross. What was that, back in episode 115? So yeah, really very cool. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, one thing I missed out on yesterday, I want to go check out that HoloLens Mars Destination app with Buzz. So I might go spend the time and line up and go try out HoloLens and give it a shot.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah, I'd love to see that.
Yeah. So should we go through some of the announcements from the keynote this morning, and or some of the news, I guess, news and announcements. Some of them are new, some of them are not new, but basically wander through what they covered this morning with Scott Guthrie, Chi Lu, and Steve Googs.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do that. So I know we started off the keynote, and Scott Googs got up and he started throwing out a bunch of numbers. So why don't we, before we dive in too much into the Azure stuff here, how about we run through and talk a little bit about the big numbers that they had. I know Goose started with saying that Microsoft Azure now is in 30 different regions, and a region consists of a cluster of data centers. Showed some cool pictures of a data center being built over on the East Coast with East Coast of the US that was going to stretch over a mile long. But those 30 regions are more than Google and AWS combined. They now are managing over 1 million servers. Over 85% of Fortune 500 use the Microsoft Cloud. They have more certifications, like things like HIPAA and security and SOX compliance, than any other vendor. They're the only vendor in China. They have 120,000 new Azure customer subscriptions per month that they're adding. They have 1.4 million SQL databases in Azure. 2 trillion IoT messages per week. Over 5 million organizations are using Azure AD. Over 4 million developers are registered with Visual Studio Team services. And over 40% of Azure usage comes from startups and ISVs. Man, that's an epic cloud number.
Yeah, isn't it? It's I love Guthrie, how he always starts his presentation with, with stats and facts and figures, and it's usually slide 2 or 3. And so he launched into an update on those numbers and really showing the momentum that Azure's picking up. I thought it was great. I love getting those sorts of updates from him and seeing how big, because these numbers are gigantic, like trillions of messages per week and billions of authentications and all that sort of stuff. Like, wow, it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is. I mean, the numbers that they deal with and the responsibility that they have for the system that they built is just, it's absolutely mind-boggling on how big stuff is. But
yeah,
it's cool. It's cool stuff. But then he transitioned right in from talking about the big numbers, and he talked about the Xamarin acquisition.
Oh yeah. Well, everybody was sitting on the edge of their seats for this one, because the news came out a few weeks back. The deal is closed, so it's official that Xamarin is joining Microsoft. They got Miguel de Casa, who's the co-founder of Xamarin, along with Nate Friedman, up on stage to do some demos and talk about it. But the news that everybody was waiting for to hear was about what Microsoft are going to do with Xamarin pricing, because I don't know if you've looked at it in the past, but Xamarin pricing in the past was not exactly cheap.
No, it wasn't. It was like almost a second MSDN subscription that you had to purchase.
Yeah, it was kind of in the multi-thousands of dollars sometimes, depending on the use, right? But for commercial use and things like that, it really got up there. And so everybody was sitting, waiting on the edge of their seats, like, are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? Are they going to do it? yeah, they're going to do it. Azure is going to, Xamarin is going to be free to all Visual Studio Enterprise, Professional, and Community subscribers, I guess. Is that the right term to use there?
Everybody that uses Visual Studio gets it for free now.
There you go. Yeah. And including, you know, MSDN customers will get it for Mac as well. It was I don't know if that means that you don't get it for free if you're not an MSDN subscriber for Mac, but maybe that was a little stumble in the talk track. But
no, they said that there's a community edition that will be made available to Mac customers for people who are on Mac. But for OS X, if you have an MSDN, then you do get the full-blown Xamarin Studio on Mac for free. It's just that if you're not an MSDN subscriber and you're on OS X, then there's going to be a free community edition you can get, kind of like akin to like the Visual Studio community edition that you can get.
Yeah, gotcha. So yeah, that was huge news. There was a big round of applause. Everybody's stoked. I mean, it's a fantastic set of tools. And a lot of the folks that are here come from customers and ISVs that are building software for enterprise use, and being able to build apps and have them run not only, you know, or reuse a lot of the code between Windows, iOS, and Android is a big deal.
Yeah. I thought that one of the things that was really interesting, or that was really cool about this, is that Scott Guthrie transitioned over to Miguel de Casa, who is the guy behind Xamarin. They transitioned over to him just 11 or 12 minutes into the keynote. And Miguel is up there starting showing code, jumping into demos right away in 11 minutes. That made a huge impression on me, especially after yesterday, where I think the only code that we saw was just a little bit of XAML about working with ink out of a 2.5-hour keynote. So I was really happy to see that. And then plus, I mean, he's doing live dev right up there on stage, building an app, showing it working in iOS, showing it working in Android, you know, recording a test suite, uploading it to their Xamarin Test Studio, test a bunch of different browsers, a bunch of different devices. That was epic to see just a really complicated a demo that everything could go wrong.
Yep.
And everything went right.
The cloud test suite is pretty awesome, being able to deploy your apps to tons of devices, see video replays of the apps working on those devices and things. It's a very comprehensive thing. And that's not new, right? They've had it for a little while, but it's fantastic that that those sorts of things are going to be coming to the Microsoft family.
It's a huge deal too, because if you go look at the competition in terms of building stuff, doing mobile development, I know AWS has a studio where you can test stuff, but I think it primarily is just Android and iOS stuff. Google has one as well, but for the Google Cloud, you can actually upload your Android applications and test them there. But what's different now is that Microsoft has one that works across everything, across all the tablets, across all the Android devices. The Xamarin one is just known for being one of the best ones that's out there. And this fills a huge hole that mobile developers had when they were working on the Microsoft and with Microsoft Cloud, the Microsoft tooling that they didn't have before. So this is a really, really cool addition to this. I saw one of the things with the tools. I mean, I haven't spent any time working with Xamarin aside from a Hello World app, but I saw you made a pretty interesting comment there where, you know, why would anybody use any other, how would any iOS developer do development without the kind of tools they have? Because I know Miguel did one thing where he said that there was with an iOS device, the one thing that you can't do and test anywhere else, like in your developer environment, is do like the multi-touch.
Pinch, zoom.
Yeah, pinching and zooming and stuff. But because he had a Surface, he was testing Xamarin on a Surface, he had that multi-touch. So that's a pretty cool little value add that they have there over everyone else.
Yeah, it's funny. I talked to a couple of folks from the open source world, not typically Microsoft-friendly folks yesterday, just in passing. A couple from Docker not friendly, but just not part of that world. And we got talking about some of this stuff, and they were like, dev tooling with Microsoft is just centuries ahead of, you know, where the open source Linux world is at with dev tooling specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And developer productivity. And they were just blown away, right? So that's pretty cool. Like, they're starting to notice some of the goodness that exists in the Microsoft world, and the Microsoft folks are getting access to the goodness that exists in the open source world. So it's never been a better time to be a dev.
I totally agree with you. And I think it's also telling, too, that you see in so many of these different places where you see people doing development these days, you're really seeing Visual Studio Code being like the primary tool for so many people. I mean, I've been doing a lot of stuff with Angular and on the web development stuff for about over two years now, working exclusively on the client side. And the tool that I saw people using the most was WebStorm by JetBrains or using Sublime. And just last year, Microsoft at this same conference announced Visual Studio Code.
Yep.
And everywhere you look, Visual Studio Code is what's being used. And I'm not just talking about, you know, web dev with Angular. I'm talking about anything TypeScript, anything web dev, anything JavaScript, HTML. And I'm also seeing a lot of it with all the demos and all the samples. I've been kind of spending a little bit of time looking at this Go language. That's what everyone's using. Now that we have a Go extension for Visual Studio Code, that we can just work with Go inside of Visual Studio Code. And that's what I see most developers end up using. I don't see hardly anyone using WebStorm compared to where it was before. So I know Microsoft didn't make a pretty good friend there with JetBrains when they released Visual Studio Code, but you can tell it's taken a bite out of them.
Yep. No, it's definitely getting, it's definitely maturing really quick, which is nice. Hey, also on that open source world thing, we've got a couple of things. Brad Green from the Angular team is presenting today from 1:20 to 2 o'clock. So I want to go take a look at that in the main theater on day two. He's talking about creating cross-platform apps with Angular 2, which would be pretty sweet.
Hmm.
Also on the open source thing, before we move on to more news, we also heard that Xamarin are open sourcing their runtime, which is like, what? So if there's features missing, for example, from, you know, that you want to be able to build in an app and have them run on iOS and Android, then you can go help contribute to the open source portion of Xamarin there to go add those things to their tools and their runtime. And that's super cool. Like, that's amazing.
It is.
I loved Miguel's comment about this was the longest job interview. Because he started the Mono project, I think, at Novell, I think it was. They were at Novell.
I think so, yeah.
And then Novell sort of did the douchey move and got rid of them somehow or closed the division down. That's how they started Xamarin. And basically, like, him joining Microsoft has taken, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. Like, he's been working on this stuff for a long time. He's super cool, nice guy.
Yeah.
And finally he gets to work in the core team, working on the stuff at Microsoft.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's kind of like the eventuality of what was supposed to happen finally has happened with Microsoft buying Xamarin and then watching what they've done with the tool set and everything and then open sourcing it. I swear, if people are listening to this episode, if you haven't seen the keynote, sorry, from day two, just go watch the first 15, 20 minutes. It almost looks like the United States State of the Union with people clapping nonstop. And Scott Gu and Miguel are having to stop every few seconds, it seems, to let them keep, you know, people going on and on. It was totally different than yesterday. The great way that it showed to start. And things did slow down a good bit for the rest of the keynote. But, I mean, they came out with just swinging like crazy. So it was very cool.
Loved it. It was a great, off to a great upbeat start.
Yeah. So the next thing, then we started transitioning into really two more things. It was all Azure and then it was all Office. And the first thing that we talked about with Office was an announcement of a new thing called Azure Functions. Do you want to talk a little bit about what these are? Or?
Yeah, let's summarize them. They're AWS Lambda in Azure.
There you go. Nails it down.
No, this is a little more detailed than that, right? I'm just being cheeky.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll learn more about it as the sessions kind of come out and we read up more about it. But definitely have to get somebody on to talk about this. But essentially what this is that AWS has an offering called Lambda. And the idea is you just kind of throw code or throw some little thing over to the, over to Azure and just say, go run this stuff for me. You don't pay for virtual machines. You don't pay for, the only thing you pay for is just the amount of like execution that you end up doing.
Yeah.
You can write things based in Node. You can write them in C#. And this is really going to help those people who today are, you know, working with stuff like are trying to save costs from using a VM where they don't want to spin up a VM just to get a whole lot of stuff done. So I find it was incredibly, incredibly cool that they were able to put this new feature out there.
Yep. No, it's nice. It's pretty cool because you won't have to spin up the VM, right? So you don't have to have a sort of quite resource intensive compute thing up there in the cloud, right? You just upload your code and it's event driven, send it events, it fires, it runs the code and it's done. So it's another nice little addition to the PaaS offering in Azure. And a bit more lightweight. You don't have to run containers. You don't have to run a VM. You just upload your code. I think they mentioned that it would be the C# or Node.js. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that's the only two languages you'll be able to upload. But they kind of had this a little bit with like web jobs, but not quite as event-driven as I understand it. So this would be a nice little addition. The interesting thing for me is they wrapped it all up in the Azure IoT sort of section of Azure. And I think it would have been clearer if they'd pulled that out, because it's a big deal. They get beaten up about this compete with Lambda, with AWS. And so I thought, hey, it would have been better to pull it out and not have it be so IoT specific, because as far as I can see, there's lots of uses for this, not just in the Internet of Things space.
Yeah, I felt the exact same way. I mean, I took a look at I need to take a look at more of the Azure Functions. I understand what Lambda is, and I understand why I would use it. I want to see how you actually use Azure Functions within Azure, because I'm with you. I got a little confused. The demo was wrapped up. They went straight into IoT and started showing things around IoT related to functions, and it all kind of looked like just a suite of all this stuff kind of thrown together, and say, look at how I can use all this stuff together. And it's like, well, I can put the pieces together. I just show me what that one piece does, and then I'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
Or have a hero demo later, which they did say. I mean, this is kind of jumping ahead a bit, but they did say there is a, I think it's called what, like My Drive. If you go to azure.com/MyDrive, or I think that's what the URL is, there is a full sample app for IoT stuff that you can go download. Sorry, My Driving. You can, it's azure.com/MyDriving. It's a sample app, IoT app, that you can spin up, you can deploy over in Azure, and it's got an ebook associated with it. You can see the decisions they made, and a real full blown sample that you can really take a look at. I remember this from back in, God, this must be 10, 15 years ago now, when we had things like the Finch and Matter books, and we had like the DNA samples and all that stuff, to where you could see a full blown application that you could download and really kind of pick through, to kind of get like a reference app, and not these like, not something, these days we have them, but they're much smaller. They're not these massive undertakings that like PMP would do. So
yeah, this is nice. I have to definitely have a look at that. Cool. So that was sort of Lambda and a bit of IoT stuff. There were some other announcements about from Azure, like VM scale sets going generally available, which was kind of nice. There's the ability to define a set of, or a virtual machine, and being able to scale it up and scale it down. Breadthways, I guess, as opposed to scaling a particular VM up in memory or down in memory. It was more horizontal scaling out, right? So that's really nice. Azure Service Fabric, there's some news around that going GA. Now, as I understood it, it was pretty quick, but there was also news about Azure Service Fabric being able to be run on-premises or in other cloud environments, like in AWS, which I thought was pretty curious too.
Yeah, so Azure Service, so the VM scale sets, yeah, they had a little category of like Azure and microservices, and they Azure VM scale sets going GA was one. The other one was talking about Service Fabric. Now, Service Fabric is now GA, but then they said they're also releasing a preview of the Service Fabric runtime that you can use on any cloud. So you could deploy this to Azure, which you don't really need to because they're already doing it. But you could also deploy it to Azure Stack, to OpenStack, to Rackspace, to DigitalOcean, to AWS. It runs on top of both Windows and on top of Linux. That seems like a really small thing that they mentioned in the keynote, but that's a pretty big deal, because the Azure Service Fabric is the thing that runs Azure. That's like the big thing that Microsoft has been using for a while. This was announced last year by Mark Racinovich at the Build keynote, I think on the second day as well. And this year, really cool video of, I think it's called Age of Ascent.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a game, an online game that is all browser-based. But it's like a space, like shoot 'em up kind of game. And it talks about how they were able to scale and how they can handle over 50 or up to 50,000 players in the same battle arena fighting at the exact same time, and how they do it in the scale and everything. I read an article about this about a couple of days ago, or maybe a week ago. This is a fascinating, like, just engineering of how they were able to build this game, and then how little code there is involved in it was really surprising to me too. But
it was a really cool demo. And they injected a bit of humor in this as well about chasing Scott Guthrie around, and in the end he got owned by Scott. So it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And then you saw, like, you know, a couple little mistakes that it made, and how it was neat, how the system actually healed itself, where Hanselman was doing the demo and he intentionally made a mistake. Well, I suspect he intentionally made a mistake to where ships started to explode without being shot. And the game was coded that if it noticed that people were, that spaceships that were exploding without being hit by with any fire, that there was a bug. And so it started rolling back the update that was percolating through the system to roll it out, because it was like, oh no, there's definitely a problem here after only rolling it out to 20% of the environment. So
yeah,
it's really cool just how the stuff that we can do with this. Just, man, Andreessen was right, man. Software eating the world.
Totally true. Never been a better time.
Yeah. And then from there, they mentioned very briefly Azure Container Service, ACS.
Yeah.
But there wasn't a whole lot there in the keynote.
No, it was kind of, it's still in preview, I think. So I think we'll hear about it again as it approaches GA and stuff like that. So I was actually surprised at how little Docker there was in the keynote.
You mean none?
None.
I didn't hear any Docker in the keynote. I didn't hear not even containers. I didn't hear Windows containers. That was a big surprise.
That's a really interesting omission. And last year they were talking about it, right, at Build with Docker. I think they even had Docker up on stage talking about containers with Windows and support and things like that in Azure. So, yeah, really odd. Really odd omission. Yeah.
I've got some so far we'll have to see who the rest of the Build breakout sessions, the announcements that come out today and tomorrow for the last 2 days of Build. But when we do our recap, I've already got a list of a few things like that I'm genuinely floored that I didn't hear anything about. But we'll come back to that when we do our wrap-up show, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next thing that they talked about in the Azure space, the last thing they talked about in the Azure space, was around data and BI, and they did a whole thing with business intelligence and announced this thing with embedded Power BI to where, well, it looked like just a client for doing your BI dashboards and reports and stuff.
Yeah, the one thing that's kind of sucked about Power BI for a while is you can build all these things and then you can't really share them outside of your tenant. And so I think embedded Power BI is, being able to share and put them in a web experience somewhere else is nice.
Yeah, I wasn't very clear on how that demo was being explained, but the other part of the data side was DocumentDB. You want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, DocDB is awesome. I've been using it a little bit recently in a couple of pet projects, and it's a NoSQL database. So I think we've spoken a bit about it on the show before. In fact, I should get a friend of mine to come on and talk about it in more detail because it's super cool. In fact, we had Andrew Liu come on the show and talk about it a while back. We should really revisit it again because it's a really cool piece of technology for data storage. You just throw JSON at it and it stores it, and you've got the power of sort of almost T-SQL over the top of it. It's really really easy to use. But their news were pretty cool. There's geo-replication around the world for building more robust applications. They've got new pricing and scaling options that are coming out for DocDB. They've also got – they had some news about this game called The Walking Dead. I can't remember the exact name of the game, but it was a Walking Dead game, and that they're doing over 1 billion transactions a day with DocDB, which is pretty sweet. So that was cool. And they also had kick-ass news about support for DocDB. So one of the painful things at the moment is you got to write all your REST calls to DocDB or use some of the SDK stuff that they provide. But in the Node world, that doesn't help a whole lot. And so what they've done is they've gone and made DocDB compatible with Mongo providers. So MongoDB is another NoSQL option. But so this means you could use a Mongo library from your Node application to talk to DocDB. And that is pretty cool because there's a lot of support for Mongo around the place, different languages, platforms, things like that. So this will really open up DocDB to all those scenarios.
It not only does that, but if you're building a containerized system that you were building, you could have a container that was just for Mongo and have your application talking to that. But when you switch over to a production environment, your connection string just points to, say, the DocumentDB connection string. Now, we haven't seen this, so I don't know if it's going to work like that cleanly.
Yeah.
But that's a really slick option. It makes sense too. I mean, it's just like, let's just take advantage of what somebody else is doing and we'll just provide the backing for the data and the hosting.
Yeah, I agree. Pretty cool stuff. So then we moved on to productivity stuff. So my old stomping ground and your old stomping ground, well, not old, kind of our current stomping grounds, I guess.
Hey, you had a cameo in this one.
I had a cameo in the demo. I wasn't even aware of that. I mean, I got a small heads up a couple of weeks ago that this might be happening, but it was pretty funny. So yeah, in general, there wasn't a lot of new news in this, but the two pieces of news that really stood out were Skype for Business controls for web and for mobile. So this is the ability to embed Skype for Business conversations, click to call for video, and chat and things like that inside a web application. So if you're building a web app, being able to embed Skype controls in that to go do, you know, video and chat and things, which is pretty cool for talking to customers or partners or what have you from a particular app that you're building. That was one piece of news. The second piece of news was about third-party extensibility for Office 365 group connectors. So that was, we touched on that yesterday, and there was an announcement about a week or so ago about connectors being available, but the news at Build was really about third parties being able to go build these and submit them to the store, so that if you build a service that you want people to be able to integrate with from Office 365 groups, you can go build the connector for that now.
Hmm. Yeah, it was interesting. There wasn't a whole lot of stuff with Office 365 or Office in terms of the announcements, but I mean, it was still some really effective demos. It was really cool. Gina Arenas was up there from Microsoft doing all of the demos. And I don't mean like
some,
I mean, she did all of the demos. She came out on stage to do a demo, and then she was out there doing demos for the next, she'd do a demo and then somebody else would talk, and then she'd still be up on stage. And I'm like, what is she doing up there? She just stayed up there. She kept doing demos and she nailed all of them. And I can't tell you guys how hard that is to go back and forth doing demos with that kind of pressure and that kind of a crowd going on. She nailed it. That was incredibly impressive. And she looked like it was like nothing.
Yep. Doing that in front of that many people with that much pressure, with, you know, presidents of divisions standing next to you watching over your shoulder, is, I vividly remember it as being some of the most nerve-wracking moments of my life at Microsoft. And she took it in her stride and smashed it. And the demos all worked really well. She nailed her talk track really well and did so many. Like, that's a lot of demos to do, and they all worked. So I was stoked to see her shine on stage.
Yeah, she did a fantastic job. So, I mean, the rest of it was just, it's not giving a slight to Office or anything, but it wasn't a ton of new stuff, but it was a lot of, you know, showing some new endpoints for the Office 365 or the Microsoft Graph,
yep,
showing updated Graph Explorer and some Office add-ins as well, showed a nice little Starbucks cameo and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, there was news about Office add-ins coming to OS X or to Mac. They're not out yet, but supposed to be in the store in the next 3 weeks, which was kind of cool. So I give them some credit for that. Also that, you know, a lot of people that come to Build are sort of hardcore devs, right? And they don't understand the Office story. So I get that they spent time recapping what's possible with the graph and what's possible with add-ins and extensibility. But maybe I'm biased because that was my old team.
Yeah. Well, you got some good perspective on it too. So
yeah, no, I was totally... It was hard not to do worse than yesterday's keynote, and these guys nailed it today, so I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was good. Today was a good keynote. Definitely made me feel a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like I wasted my time like I did yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going to go off to some sessions at Build, and we'll do a recap show and talk more about what went on, but great talking again about day two.
Absolutely, yeah. Just for everybody, just to make sure you understand what we're doing here, don't expect a recap tomorrow. Don't expect our show to come out on a Saturday. We'll have a recap show coming out next week. We're going to let the rest of the show go, but we wanted to definitely kind of do some recap based on the two keynotes that happened. So just stay tuned, and we'll be back to our regular schedule after this episode.
Yep. Cheers.
Awesome. See you, CJ.
Bye.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.